paramount for us to understand what caused Israel to fall. And it was their, by their choice, they decided that they knew better. They were going to go against God's law. And so God eventually had to punish them. First Israel, then Judah. Now, I want to make a parallel here between them and between us in America. Today, in America, we have all kinds of voices out there. And the one thing that I have noticed, being that I am now 75 years old, I have seen in my years a moral decline in the USA. I mean, I was just thinking back here. I went to first grade when in 1951, and that was a few years ago. Most of you guys weren't even thought of at that point in time. And I have seen so much happen. I've seen so much depravity coming out of the hearts of people. And my mind went to the passage of scripture in Matthew where Jesus said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things that defile a man. So when you listen to people speak, very often when they speak, that is a window into their heart. And to get an idea, whether are they speaking in righteousness or are they speaking in depravity? And so when we're looking at everything that's going on in our country today, we see this. In the meantime, what have Christians been doing? Well, I'll just read down here what I have. Christians have been so busy fighting each other over secondary, non-essential issues, doctrines. They've been busy singing and praising Jesus in their cloisters. Well, they fail to live and walk in Christ during the week. And it's obvious that the church is not having an impact on our culture today. And it's disheartening because we see places where churches are full to the brim, but there's nothing given as to how to live and walk in the Christian life. So we're getting a Christian public that has done what Israel has done, where God told them, don't be like the world around them, that pagan world. And he really says the same thing to us as believers in Christ. Don't be like the world system. Look what John talked about. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, and so on. So there's been this dynamic that I have seen radically change in the last 50, 60 years. I can remember when I went to first grade back in 1951. I know it tells me you're old. I'm old, but anyway. But you know what happened in 1962? In 1962, our Supreme Court banned prayer in public schools. So we no longer had prayer at the beginning of our day in the public school. Then in 1963, well, again, the Supreme Court banned Bible reading in schools. And understand, when that happened, I was in high school down in the Washington, D.C. area there, over in Bethesda. And we had predominantly Christian, Catholic, Jewish people in the school, and, you know, and nobody was offended. But then they came down with this ruling. And then in 1972, the Ten Commandments were removed by the Supreme Court again in a Kentucky decision that eventually has filtered down through our entire society So that young people today who are college age or in their 20s, you ask them what the Ten Commandments are, they don't have a clue. They've never heard them. And so we have that. Again, I could go on and talk about a lot of other things here, but time is not always my friend. So then again, in 1973, we had another big decision made by our Supreme Court. They made it lawful to kill unborn babies. At this point in time, we're up to 61 million unborn babies. And it's interesting, I have down here a note where their blood cries out for vengeance. America is also guilty of sponsoring abortion worldwide. Yet when you go to Psalm 139, what a magnificent portion of scripture in that passage of 139, where God knew us even before we were conceived. He knew what our being would be, and he describes it. It's a beautiful psalm. And then you have Jeremiah, where God said to Jeremiah, I knew you while you were in your mother's womb, and I called you while you were in your mother's womb to be a prophet. And yet, our world today wants to tell us that there's no life until birth, and really they violate that because now they're killing babies out of the womb. But there's two passages of scripture that deal with the blood crying out. There's the first one that has to do with Cain and Abel. And as God was talking to Cain after he killed Abel, and he said, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. That's in Genesis 4:10. It's used in another place. It's used during the tribulation period when the Antichrist is killing as many believers as possible. And they say, up in heaven, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and revenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So you understand this is a big issue. And so our courts have done that. And then in 1915, I wasn't even around then, 2015, the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriages. And, you know, God has made his thoughts very well known in Scripture, unless you try to dilute it or twist it. But here's a couple passages out of Leviticus. Leviticus 18, 22 and 20, verses 13 and 14. He says, You shall not lie with mankind as you lie with womankind. It is abomination. The other verse says, if a man also lie with mankind, man with man, as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, and they shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. So even though we're not under the law of Moses, nonetheless, it reveals what God thinks about it, and he's not pleased with it. It is an abomination to him. And you're going to go through some other things, and I'm just skimming over some things here. As far as illegal drugs, half of the illegal drugs in the world are consumed by 4% of the U.S. population. Think about that. And then you have $13 billion per year that is spent on pornography. And 60% of all internet porn websites are housed in the United States or hosted in the United States. And it's interesting. Go to Leviticus chapter 18, verses 6 through 18. And I'm not going to read that. But what Moses or God saying through Moses is there is that a man, and for a woman for that matter, but a man, and specifically, is not to look upon a naked sister, is not to look upon a naked daughter-in-law, is not to look upon a naked mother. It is pornography. They are not to look upon a naked woman. The Bible is very clear what his feelings is on pornography. Whether issues of Americans cohabiting, Americans not marrying, it has just mushroomed and exploded in this country in the last 40 to 50 years. Divorce in this country, again, has, well, it's been about the same for a good many years now. It's close to 50% of all marriages dissolve in divorce. 40% of our children are born out of wedlock. I remember watching here not too long ago of some sports stars who were bragging on this program that they were the fathers of 6, 8, 10, 12 children. They weren't married to these women. Our nation as well is a debt junkie. The nation is a debt junkie, and the citizens are also debt junkies, personal debt. America is the moral polluter of the planet through the distribution of immoral, violent, and blasphemous television programs and movies. As it relates to Israel, the United States has been trying to push on Israel for the last 30 years a two-state program, forcing them to give up land for peace. I'm sorry, I don't think any of us here would give up California, New Mexico, Texas, if there was a discussion about that, because we won that in war. Israel won that in war, but historically it's theirs because of the Abrahamic covenant. God said it's theirs and I give it to them, he said. And that is throughout the Torah section of the scripture. In fact, it'll say, and got to get my notes here where I can read what I'm doing. It'll say in Joel chapter 3, verse 2, God says, I will also gather all nations and bring them up or bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Now, you may not know where the valley of Jehoshaphat is. That's the valley that runs parallel with the walls of Jerusalem, the Kidron Valley. He will bring them to that area, the nations, the peoples of the earth, and will plead with them for his people, his inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted his land. God is more than a little upset about it. Well, there's another issue. There's evolution. This is a religion of naturalism. Has taken over our universities and colleges and our state schools, better known as public schools, and our Christian colleges are teaching evolution, that man evolved from lower species instead of God creating man. And yet it is so clear when you look at Genesis 1 and you understand Genesis 1 as God gave it, it's clear that God created man as the highest point of creation of all that he had made. But you have mankind that believes we came from a lower form. And so they teach this. There are bribes today. There is dishonesty. You could use so many, go back and get so many biblical illustrations, but again, time is not on my side. Then there's the teaching of no moral absolutes. The acceptance of, or no acceptance of the responsibility. It has been removed from our culture. So people can do things that are obviously sin and feel no guilt for it. We've removed that from our culture. That's been gone now for the last 20 to 30 years. And we have a society that's coming up that bears no responsibility and has no moral absolutes. Just do everything that is right in his own eyes, just as like God talked about Israel back in the Judges, in Judges 21. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Well, God has a record. Well, there's a lot of other things here, but one of the other things that I want to mention is what three of our presidents had said about our nation. And they're really kind of prophetic almost. Here's one from Thomas Jefferson, not necessarily a flaming Christian. He was a deist. But here's what he said. I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. Boy, what a statement from Thomas Jefferson. And here's another statement. If destruction is our lot, we must ourselves be its author and finisher. That was Abraham Lincoln, 16th president. Now, let me give you one more from our second president, John Adams. He said this, and this is very revealing. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions and unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for a moral, righteous people. John Adams, by the way, was a born-again believer. We in America, over the years, we've seen two great revivals, one in the 1700s and one in the 1800s. One with Jonathan Edwards, most of us have heard of him. The other is involving the Wesley brothers and George Whitefield. We've heard of the Wesley brothers. We got all kinds of hymns in our hymnal with the Wesleys. And then since that, well, we've still had evangelists. Well, we had men like Dwight Moody, Billy Sunday, Billy Graham. But there's an ingredient that was missing. There was no national revival. American has turned their back on God. Remember I talked about that, seeing God's face and God giving us his back? He did that with Israel. Well, for well over a century now, there has been no revival in this country. Rather, our country has gone to Satan's revival of Darwinism to teach us the myth of evolution. No absolutes. Everything is relative. You are free to live without accountability and responsibility has become fashionable in our culture today. And again, I grew up in the 60s. That's called the hippie era. I lived in Washington, D.C. I saw it. I used to drive around a place called DuPont Circle, which was a large circle in D.C. It was filled with hippies. Free love. I saw that too. It was the sexual revolution. And that unleashed on our country immorality that I shouldn't even speak of. But now today, we have the sons and daughters, the grandchildren, who have been programmed in this way of the world system. I hear, and it doesn't matter what the background is, I hear the phrase constantly, God bless America. When you look at America's track record, the what it has become, God can't bless America. God has to judge it. If God judged his people Israel and dispersed them throughout the nations because of their sin, and we're not even Israel, We're Gentiles. God has to judge America, and he will. He judged all the other empires throughout the world because of their wickedness. He will judge America too, and our day is coming. I believe our years are numbered. How does that relate to us? Well, let me give you a couple of verses. The scripture says, redeem the time for the days of evil. And they are evil today. That's in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. We need to redeem the time. Our time is limited. Jesus Christ is going to come back and he's going to take us home. And the people that we know, they're going to be left behind. They're going to be left behind to understand and know what it is to live under a completely wicked system, under the auspices of the Antichrist. So we must redeem the time. But so many Christians are interested in, oh, I got to have the newest car. I have to have the newest gizmo, the newest gadget, whatever. And nothing wrong with gizmos and gadgets. I like them too. But that's what their focus is on. We need to have our focus on redeeming the time. Jesus spoke. John spoke. We're the light in darkness. John refers to that in the first epistle of John, verses 4 and 5. We're the light. In fact, he contrasts believers who walk in the light and who walk in darkness. We're the light. And I think of that verse in Psalm 119 about the word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, the light unto my path. Now, there are some words that Jesus gave that don't necessarily make me rejoice, although I'm supposed to. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted. And they say evil things against us. That's in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. He'll go on and say in verse 13 that you and I are the salt of the earth. We are to be the preserving feature, to preserve and to purify. But he also goes on to say, if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it? Then also in Matthew chapter 5, he says, do not hide your light under a bushel, but you let the light shine so it penetrates the darkness. I understand y'all are coming up on 40 days of prayer. More than ever before, we as a body of believers need to be corporately and individually in prayer. I want to end this with one other thing. Of course, you know I'm in Jewish ministries. And I'm seeing a world right now that is becoming increasingly antagonistic against Christians. And I'm looking at that, and I'm saying to myself, when will anti-Semitism strike? What event will occur in the future that will make the Jewish people fearful for their life again? Something will happen. The tide, as I said in the beginning, the wind has changed. The tide has changed. This nation, who was established on Christian principles, is now being going against it. And those in leadership are going against it, fighting against it. And I've just got done going through in the study Bible that I've been working on. How can I take the book of Proverbs and describe it to you? I'll just say this. There's 31 Proverbs. There's generally 31 days in a month. Read a proverb a day as your multi-spiritual vitamin and contemplate as God contrasts foolishness with wisdom. And today, what I'm looking at and what I'm seeing as an individual, I'm seeing much foolishness and vanity. Read Colossians, read Ecclesiastes. Nothing new under the sun, all is vanity. Except when you serve the Lord. And it's so much in the Psalms, I can't even go there. Spend this time, understand where we are as a nation. We have, I believe, crossed the spiritual line. I believe, as God told Jeremiah, no longer pray for this people. We may have crossed that line where there is no opportunity again that we will, as a nation, repent. I do know it's possible. They say it was the Wesley brothers and Whitfield that turned Great Britain around from having something like the French Revolution as they preached the gospel and the nation was converted. So is it possible? Yes. Will it happen? I guess that depends on us, whether we walk before him and uphold this nation before him. Let's pray. Father, there's so much here, so many avenues that could be approached. I just know, Father, that as I look and as I watch, I see so much depravity being exhibited out of the hearts and mouths of man. Lord, wake us up as believers. Move us beyond our pews to the places where we work, that we would share the gospel, that people would come to faith, and that God would raise up mighty men in the word, and teach it. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity today. This subject is not my favorite, Lord. I love America, but I'm afraid of what I see, and I understand your holiness, and you will not tolerate sin. So, Lord, work in our own hearts. Thank you, Father, for this time together around your word. In Jesus' name, amen.